It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Stephanie Kuo. The family of Jordan Edwards, the black 15-year-old who was fatally shot by a police officer in Balch Springs, released a statement today thanking people for their thoughts, prayers, and condolences. They described Jordan as a loving child, and they're now preparing for his funeral. Balch Springs police are scheduled to hold a press conference in about 10 minutes regarding the shooting. KERA's Bill Zeeble has been following the developments, and he talked with Eric Austin.
Bill, thanks for taking the time.
You're welcome.
What else did the Edwards family say in the statement that was released?
Well, they said Jordan, who was a freshman at Mesquite High School, was a humble child who had a sharing spirit. They said that Jordan's brothers lost their best friend. They witnessed his death. The family calls it a violent, senseless murder. The family also says their young lives will be forever altered and that no one should witness such a horrific, unexplainable violence. The family members are also asking to be allowed space to grieve and that the community refrain from protests or marches, either in Jordan's name or in the family's name. And the family also says it does not condone any violence or threats made against the Balch Springs Police Department or any law enforcement agencies.
Let's review what happened on Saturday when Jordan was shot.
Well, Jordan was at a house party. Then there was some commotion, so he and his brothers got into a car. There were five of them all together, five teens. They were leaving as police were arriving to investigate an underage drinking complaint. The Balch Springs police chief, Jonathan Haber, initially said officers heard gunshots. And on Sunday, he said the car that Jordan was in backed down a street toward police. But on Monday, the chief reversed the story. He said the body cam video showed the car was moving away from police, moving forward. An officer shot at the moving vehicle. Jordan was shot through the passenger's side window.
The attorney for Jordan Edwards' family has been speaking out quite a bit. What is he saying?
He's attorney Lee Merritt. He's handled civil rights-related cases, including the high-profile incident in Fort Worth last year involving Jacqueline Craig, who was arrested by an officer. That incident was videotaped, and the video went viral. Merritt wants the Balch Springs officer arrested based only on the facts. Today, he talked with Sybil Wilkes, a co-host of Tom Joyner's morning show.
We do recognize a trend in the country of white officers taking the lives of black males or being careless or reckless with the lives of black males. And we think this fits into that narrative. But the race issue aside, this was a police officer who violated department procedures, who had no justification to shoot in a car full of teens. To fire multiple rounds into a moving vehicle was just the worst possible policing ever, but it was also a crime.
So what's the status of the investigation?
Well, the Dallas County Sheriff's Department and the Dallas County District Attorney's Office, the integrity unit there, they're both investigating.
And what do we know about the officer?
The officer hasn't been named. He's been placed on administrative leave, and we don't know when his identity may be revealed.
That's KERA's Bill Zeeble. Bill, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Again, Balch Springs police are scheduled to hold a press conference in just a few minutes at 6:30 regarding the shooting. The days are numbered for 305 weathered rental homes, most of them in West Dallas. The city says they aren't up to code, so the landlord had to choose, fix them or close up shop. He picked the latter. KERA's One Crisis Away series, No Place to Go, is shining a light on the families being forced to leave. With a June 3rd deadline looming, many already have. As Courtney Collins reports, some people remain with no real plan.
West Dallas in 2017 is really a tale of two neighborhoods. The Trinity Grove's restaurants and apartments cluster at the base of the Margaret Hunt Hill Bridge. Construction cranes continue their westward march, promising new townhomes and shiny studios. Right next door are appliance repair shops, old churches, and aging houses.
I call it the wall. It's the financial wall, you know, those new apartments that are right there, you know, because they just block, it looks like it just blocks out the whole neighborhood.
Ronnie Mestis is a neighborhood leader. He sits on the education committee of West Dallas One, a six-year-old group representing each of the local neighborhood associations. He also grew up in West Dallas, and after years in the Navy, decided to retire here too.
I came back to my roots, you know, this is where I love it here.
Mestis doesn't fear gentrification. He knows the signals change. Landlords charging more, property taxes ticking up, more visitors. He says development also cleans up the neighborhood. Before all the new construction, one of his friends was afraid to take her grandkids to play outside.
She couldn't go there because there was a swamp, you know, there's mosquitoes, you know, there was these trailers, there's trash, you know, prostitutes, you know, drug dealers, all that stuff in that area where she's at.
He's also worried about neighbors who live in rental homes owned by HMK Limited. the ones that will be cleared out next month. They've had 7 months' notice to vacate. Mestis says most of them pay $300 to $500 a month. Notice isn't the issue.
These are the last homes that you're going to find anywhere at that price.
Just ask Joe Garcia. The 53-year-old HMK tenant lives in a small two-bedroom house with his 84-year-old mom, Lily. The house isn't falling down. It's got a new teal paint job and recently replaced siding. Still, the floors creak and the air conditioner sticks out a side window. It's wedged in with an old piece of wood and duct tape. A garbage bag anchored by a brick flutters off the backside to prevent outside air from flowing in. Joe and Lily don't know where to go.
Not a plan yet, but they'll have to come that we'll have to move out. Know if what's about it, you know.
And that's hard to swallow because the Garcias love West Dallas.
Back in 63, well, I was born here in one of the houses in West Dallas. But they knocked that house down also. Like I said, been here for all my life.
And his family's roots are even deeper. Lily doesn't speak much English. She remembers what West Dallas looked like when her father arrived.
Grandpa come from aquí, no había nada luz ni nada aquí.
She's talking about when my grandfather was living here. When my grandfather came into this area, it was nothing but just land. It was just like three houses up in this area.
His grandfather wouldn't recognize the place today, and neither does Joe. The new apartments are impressive. Renting one is out of the question.
If I had the money, yes. Who wouldn't? I mean, it's something to look forward for, you know. But in the process of it, you know, it's a common sense that we just can't afford it.
The numbers just don't work. Joe lives on $750 a month. The rent here is $425. He says after paying bills, he's left with about $20 a month.
On money situations, it's always a stretch. It's always a stretch for it.
It hasn't been easy for Joe. He has epilepsy and says his seizures have kept him from working most of his life. He has to survive on government disability checks. He's worried a single arrest on his record after a fight in his 20s might prevent him from buying a home one day. Looming over everything, he's worried about his mom, who's distraught over losing her house.
Because, I mean, that's the way my dad told me before he passed away in his bed. Told me, you take care of your mom. So that's what I've been doing since he passed away back in 89. West Dallas is mostly right now, it's like older people live here, and they don't know where to go.
And the combination of tough housing standards and expensive new development means folks like Joe and Lily probably can't start over in West Dallas. That stings.
I mean, people been here all their lifetime, and it's hard for them to move out, you know? Like I said, it's a community that they just come and take out.
The Garcias are caught in the middle of a conflict that's been brewing for months.
The city code was an important discussion because we had so many poor families living in conditions that were unhealthy.
If I could continue renting to these wonderful families indefinitely, I would. This accelerated pace has been completely at the hands of the city.
That's Krash Krash, co-owner of HMK Limited, and before him, Dallas Mayor Mike Rawlings. Each of them blames the other for these families having to move out. A look inside that struggle in the next chapter of One Crisis Away, No Place to Go. Courtney Collins, KERA News.
To see photos of Joe and Lily in that teal-painted rental house, visit KERA.org/onecrisisaway and tune in tomorrow night at 6:20 to hear more from Dallas Mayor Mike Rawlings and HMK Limited co-owner Krash Krash about their conflict over these 305 homes. Coming up tomorrow morning, 9 in 10 Texans think it's harder to talk about a mental health condition than a physical health issue. The one place where it's easier to talk about mental rather than physical health seems to be in the Texas legislature, where a handful of bills are speeding through the House with near unanimous support. Among them, a proposal to enforce the mental health benefits in many insurance plans. KERA's Lauren Silverman has the story. That's tomorrow at 8:22 during Morning Edition. In the forecast, partly cloudy tonight with a low of 66. Tomorrow, expect thunderstorms, temperatures much lower, a high of 76 and low of 54. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.